Maharaj. Is Tiffany Mataji there?
Hare Krishna, yes, Mataji, I'm here.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji. I apologize for all this gadgets problem that we are
No.
having today, Mataji. I'm not the most the technical person that you can find here, Mataji. If you don't mind saying a few brief words about His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, we'll be so obliged. Please go ahead, Mata.
Absolutely, Mataji. Yes, it's not your fault. I know these things happen. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This morning, we're so fortunate to have with us His Grace Chandramali Swami. Chandramali Swami Maharaj is a disciple of His Holiness of ISKCON, founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he is also an initiating spiritual master within the ISKCON movement. Maharaj was born in New Jersey in 1947 and came into contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in Denver, Colorado, at the age of 24. In 1973, he began practicing Krishna consciousness in New York City, and shortly thereafter began serving at the New Vrindavan Farm Community in West Virginia. That same year, he received initiation from Srila Prabhupada. In 1986, His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj accepted the sannyas order and began preaching in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. In 1995, he began serving as a resident sannyasi in Chicago, where he was based until 2013. He then relocated to Karlovac, Croatia. At present, Maharaj offers spiritual guidance around Europe, the USA, and in India. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for this wonderful introduction. It's never enough whenever we hear about our wonderful Maharajas. We will, before we are just waiting for a few more minutes for Maharaj to settle down. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet, Maharaj. How are you doing, Maharaj? Thank you so much for visiting the Chicago Temple, and thank you so much for enlightening us there with your songs, dance, music, lecture. Maharaj, today we will be reading from Canto 6, Chapter 16, verse number 29. Whenever you're ready, Maharaj, please take the call over. Hare Krishna.
I'll need a minute.
Yes.
Okay. And I'll be right back.
Sure. So recently, devotees, we had the 50th anniversary of Kishore Kishori Temple here in Chicago. And Maharaj was there. He was one of the keynote speaker, and he was dancing fantastically. He was singing, and we were all so much in ecstasy, all of us here. So it's never enough to see Maharajas. It's never enough to get the Sadhu Sangha.
Hare Krishna Mataji, just
Yes, Mata.
I want to share. We saw Maharaj in Sadhu Sangha, Mataji. Maharaj danced on the stage. It was
You see?
awesome, Mataji. He was dancing like a 5 years old boy.
Yes,
It
that was
was
very
wonderful.
nice.
Very
He's
nice,
probably the
Mataji.
best dancers. And then Maharaj would throw up the microphone and everything. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's nice to see so much enthusiasm,
Yes,
in here. Thank you so much for sharing, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
obeisances to all the devotees, and to Kalpa Sri Vishyati, Kalpini, Kalpini, Kalam, Pali, Yo, Vaishnavi, Yona, Mahavadi, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tathagatipayo Vayayo Viro Vidya Veda Namo Gatahi Jagama Deva Vinasya Deshatya Karanatikami. Thereafter, within a very few days, by the influence of the mantra that Chichu Kecha had practiced, his mind became increasingly enlightened with spiritual struggles, and he attained shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport: a devotee's ultimate achievement is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in any one of the planets in the spiritual sky. As a result of rigid execution of devotional service, a devotee receives all material opulence if these are required. Otherwise, the devotee is not interested in material opulences, nor does the Supreme Lord award them. When a devotee is actually engaged in devotional service of the Lord, his apparently material opulences are not material, they are all spiritual. For example, if a devotee spends money to construct a beautiful costly temple, the construction is not material but spiritual. Nirbande Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Uchtate. Devotee's mind is never diverted to the material side of the temple. The brick, stone, and wood used in the construction of the temple are spiritual. Just as the deity, although made of stone, is not stone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the more he can understand the elements of devotional service. Nothing in devotional service is material, everything is spiritual. Consequently, a devotee is rewarded so-called material opulence for spiritual advancement. This opulence is an aid to help the devotee advance towards the spiritual kingdom. Thus, Maharaj Chitraketu remained in material opulence as a Vidyadharapati, master of the Vidyadharas. By executing devotional service, he became perfect within a few days and returned home back to Godhead. Taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord Shesha Ananta. The karmi's material opulence and the devotee's material opulence are not on the same level. Srila Madhvacharya comments in this way: Ayantayaminam Vishnum Upasyasnya Sami Padaha Vavedyo Gyatayatasya Padamva Panyu Yam Malaha. By worshipping Lord Vishnu, one can get whatever he desires, but a pure devotee never asks Lord Vishnu for anything material profit. Instead, he serves Lord Vishnu without material desires, and therefore ultimately transferred to the spiritual kingdom. In this regard, Srila Viraraghava Acharya comments, Yatesta Gatir Ityartha. By worshipping Vishnu, a devotee can get whatever he likes. Maharaj Chitraketu wanted only to return home back to Godhead, and therefore he achieved success in that way. And again, Timidam Vasyagina, the Salatmaya Tatsun, the Nikamiena Tasmai Shuja, the Women of Hath. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Shumakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nikinomine. Namaste, Saraswati Deva, Gauravandi Pacharine, near the Sesa Sunya Vanadi, Pasyatya De Sitarine. Panchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu vedacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namaho namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So sometimes people misunderstand and imagine that material means what you can see and touch and perceive. Spiritual means what you can't see, what you can't touch, something that is invisible. But this here particular explanation describes that false argument, because ultimately, when you go back to the essence of all activities, you find that the basic principle is the source is Krishna. And Krishna creates the material world through his agency. And his agencies take the ingredients, the basic ingredients, and formulate the different forms in this material world, such as the bodies of the 8,400,000 living entities. And they're simply made out of these eight elements, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir Apanilo Bhayi, Kamara Bhude Vacha, Ahankar Iti Ame, Vina Sukrisi Astiga, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, make up my separated material energy. So what Krishna is explaining ultimately is that whatever is created by him is spiritual. Krishna can't create anything material, because material has to be understood in relationship to spiritual, because spiritual is the source of all existence. Krishna is pure spirit. And therefore, whatever he creates is also spiritual. And then that same spiritual energy, when it's used in different ways, it takes on certain characteristics. Therefore, when the elements, the basic elements, earth, water, fire, or ether, formulate the different bodies, that is material. When those bodies or any item made out of these eight elements are connected to the source again, they regain their spiritual essence. In other words, they're spiritual. As here Prabhupada said, the bricks, the stones, the stone, the wood used in the construction are spiritual. Just like the deity is made out of wood, sometimes stone, metal. But then the deity can't be material, because the deity is Krishna. So they say, well, it's actually the outside is material, the inside is Krishna. But that is a wrong understanding, because the essence of all existence is spiritual. What material is, material means cut off. That's a simple definition of material. When you take something and you cut it off from its source, it takes on a different definition and quality. Similarly, just like if you take a hand, when it becomes part of the body, it's very useful. But then if you cut that hand off, it's no longer connected to the body and it has no use at all. And therefore, it is just, it's useless. And for in the same way that when we cut ourselves off from Krishna, or anything that is created by the Lord through his various energies, Parashya Shakti Vidhaya Suyate, Svabhavika Jnanam Palakti Vacha, can only be spiritual because the source is also spiritual. We have examples that great souls, their bodies, sometimes at the time of death, does not deteriorate. You can go, and you can actually see it in the Sri Sampradaya. If you go to Rangikshetra, and you can see it covered with resin is the actual body of Ramanujacharya. the body would not deteriorate. And it's simply preserved with resin. And in the same way, we have examples in the Christian tradition, Saint Teresa of Avila. Her body lasted 400 years after she parted. Unfortunately, people started to cut up the body and take parts for their own little worship. But the body never deteriorated. So when something is just like if you take iron and you put it into a fire, you leave it in the fire, after some time it becomes like fire. And then if you touch it anyway, it loses its metallic characteristic and takes on the principle of fire. It burns. So in the same way, anything used in the service of the Lord becomes spiritual, including our consciousness. Now, our consciousness by nature is spiritual. Yeah, because consciousness cannot be material, but it's covered by the material energy, and therefore it appears to be material. But when that consciousness again is engaged in the service of the Lord, it cuts through the coverings and again it retains its natural spiritual essence. So in that way, nothing used in the service of the Lord, nor connected with the Lord, can be spiritual material. It always remains in its spiritual essence. Although it may look material, and the author may handle it and feel material still. But spiritual simply means connected with the source. Material means disconnected. That is the correct understanding. It was like Prabhupada was discussing with one he was a devotee. And he became a friend of Srila Prabhupada. His name was Dr. Patel, who joined Srila Prabhupada's morning walks in Bombay in 1973 and then mostly in 74. He would come every day practically. And then he would, many times he would argue with Prabhupada on philosophical points. He had some knowledge and some understanding. And Prabhupada was saying that the spiritual master's body is spiritual. And Dr. Patel was saying, well, yeah, but not like Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no, spiritual means spiritual. So then the argument went on, and finally Prabhupada used that example. If you take an iron rod and you place it in the fire, leave it there for some time. So the understanding of spiritual, it means fully engaged in the service of the all-spiritual, pure personality of Godhead. Then it takes on the spiritual qualities also. And it will act also in a spiritual way. So depending on how much that body and mind and consciousness is absorbed in the same way. So if we engage in devotional service, we transcend the material energy and come to the spiritual platform. And then although we are in the material world, we are not touched by the material world as long as we stay engaged in devotional service. As soon as we deviate from devotional service, we again re-enter into the material energy again. But as long as anything is engaged in the service of the Lord, it is spiritual. And so therefore, Prabhupada wants to make the point that the devotee is not interested in anything in this world, but because they have some services, they use whatever they have, their money, their time, their energy, their personal properties, they use it in the service of the Lord. And then that becomes spiritual. So spiritual means elevating, and material means degrading. So everything is more like a double-edged sword. Just like you can use the example of a knife. A knife can become very useful in cutting your food like that. or carving a a figure. But the same knife can be used to kill. So in the same way, everything material can be used in the service of the Lord or in the service of one's own mind and senses. And that's the difference between material and spiritual. And so Prabhupada said, a devotee may have material opulences, but they are not concerned about enjoying any material opulences, nor about accumulating more material opulences. If Krishna wants to give them something material, they accept it. But their main concern is to please Krishna and engage in devotional service. And Prabhupada makes this point over and over because people still, they don't get it, that spiritual means engage in devotional service, or material means be engaged in other activities that are contrary to devotional service, or parallel, you might even say. So a devotee is not interested in anything material, but sometimes you see devotees are very well-to-do. They have a good material arrangement, and others have very little. But either one doesn't make them either benefit more advanced than the other. It's not that if you have more, you're more advanced spiritual, or if you have less, you're more advanced spiritual. No, it's your consciousness and how you use whatever Krishna gives you. Sometimes a devotee sometimes sees that their material life is simply a burden, and they want to reduce their attachment to material life by becoming more and more free from the encumbrances of material things and material activities. Pitrakechu here, he was a great king. I mean, he was a powerful king. He had described some of the earlier parts of the Bhagavatam in this same canto. You know, he had ministers, he had cabinet members, he had a treasury, he had military, and he also had 10 million wives. So many things. Now he has nothing of that thing, but now he's happy. And all he wants to do is go back home, back to Godhead, taking shelter of Lord Ananta, because he's a devotee of Anantadev. A devotee is satisfied in devotional service. And if they get something material, they can use it. And if they don't get it, they don't lament. Because the characteristic of the different levels of existence are that the demigods, those in the higher planets, they always rejoice. They're happy. Those on this level, the human beings, we're always lamenting. We want something, we don't get it, we're not happy. We get something that we want and it doesn't make us happy. Or we get something we want, makes us happy for a little while, then we lose it. Always lamenting. This is the nature of the material, of the conditioned souls. Lamenting over this, lamenting over that. I wish I had this. I wish I didn't go here. It's always some lamentation. And for the animals, fear. Fear is their characteristic. So devotees doesn't have to lament, because whatever Krishna arranges by one's natural devotional service, a devotee is happy. Doesn't have to make big arrangements to have so many things. Just simply, and Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. Devotee doesn't worry. Oh, I have so much and now I don't have as much as before. They understand that all of these things are simply Krishna's energy. And we don't own anything. Whatever we have, it comes by way of our needs in this material world and some endeavor to accumulate these things. But they are not ours. We can, the old saying, we come into the world with nothing and we leave in the same way. There's actually there's one particular culture, I think it's the Egyptian culture, that when these great kings and Pharisees and great personalities, they would die, they would bury their treasures with them. And then when they come up in their next life, they can have all of the stuff they had in the previous life, which is ridiculous anyway. There was one story where one cartoonist, everybody knows him, Walt Disney, famous for Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, and the false form of Radha Krishna in cartoon play. So he became famous for these cartoons. And he became quite wealthy. I remember when I was growing up as kids, you go to the movie and you go and sit in the movie for a particular movie, but they'd always show a cartoon in the very beginning of the movie. You know, it'd be one of these Walt Disney cartoons, Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse, like that. So he was very popular and he also became very wealthy. So at one point, he was getting old. So he was thinking, I want to, you know, live longer. So, then he heard about this thing called chirogenics. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Is that you can go and they freeze your body after you die, keep it in a state where it doesn't deteriorate, some really ice cold refrigerators. And you pay them a large amount of money before you die. And then when they learn the secret of life, you bring it back, inject it into your body, and then voila, there you go, you're dancing again. So they have this program to cheat people. Of course, nobody can do that. Once the soul leaves the body, it doesn't return to that body. It goes somewhere else according to the karma dhyani training. So Walt Disney, he paid, you know, large amounts of money to have his body frozen. But then after he died, the relatives were saying, well, the dowry or the heritage or the, you know, all of his possessions, we're his relatives, we're entitled to that. But other people, but there was a big court case. Some were saying, well, he's going to come back and get all this stuff again. And others were saying, no, he's dead. So they had a big fight and it went to court. And then at one time, somebody from the side of the relatives snuck into the area where his body was being freezed. And they pulled out the plug of the refrigerator. So this is the activities of the foolish materialists. They think they can come back and again enjoy in this material body. But they're not enjoying it in the first place. And now they come back to just to increase their idea that they think they can enjoy again. So this is just an example of how foolishness it is to chase after material things. Therefore, a devotee doesn't waste time trying to work so hard in order to get material things. Whatever Krishna provides, and Krishna will provide if we make a little honest endeavor to maintain ourselves nicely, living gorgeously or living simply is not the goal of life. The goal of life is Prema Kumarta Mahan, to develop our love for Krishna, which brings the ultimate principle of happiness and satisfaction, fulfills all desires, and ultimately allows one to leave this material world and return to our home in the spiritual world. But people think, oh, I have to be rich, I have to have this, I have to have so many nice things in my life, and I have to work so hard. I remember there was one man, one of my disciples. Her and her husband used to work for this person. He had a big estate, large amount of area. He would keep animals and horses on it. So they were living on the estate in the house that was there on the estate, and taking care of the grounds, doing the agriculture and taking care of the animals like that. And they were living free. That was their payment for taking care. They didn't have to pay anything for their living expenses, nor did they have to. They also got some salary. The man who had this wealth, he was living in the city in his office. He was every day working hard. And he would come out once or twice a year just to see what was going on in his land. And then he would leave and come back again after some time. But he never used the land. Ultimately, he had it, but he never used it. This is the foolish materialist. They just like they say, sometimes a person will accumulate so much money and they'll just put it in the bank. And then the bank numbers go up and up and up. And every once in a while, they go look at the bank book and see, oh, how much money they have. They feel good that it's increasing like that. And then when they die, somebody else gets it anyway. This is material life. You can't keep anything in this material world and use whatever you need by the grace of Krishna. And Krishna will always take care of his devotees. He says that. He provides for his devotees. He acts like he provides for all living entities. He takes care of his devotees. But many times we think we have to take care in such a way that we have to have more and more and more, and that will give us the satisfaction of life. But we just waste time, and therefore it's simple living, high thinking is the basic principle of the execution of successful devotional service, because devotional service requires time. And how much time are we giving to Krishna? How much time are we giving to maintaining the body and the extensions of the body, family members, friends, and social, political, and economic obligations? So we have to see, because life is short. And life is very short in Kali Yuga. People would live in other ages, they would live up to 10,000 years. Whereas in the Satya Yuga, they would even live longer. But in Treta Yuga, 10,000 years. You read about people in the Bible, they were living 600, 800 years. Noah lived about 700 years. Now we don't know if anybody gets to 100 years old, they're considered to be a grand old man, a great achievement. But 100 years is like flash, it's nothing. But life is very short. Therefore, what is actually precious is not material things, but time. Time is the actual preciousness. So whatever time Krishna has given us in this world, if we use it, become Krishna conscious, then that time will take us ultimately to the area where there is no time, that is the spiritual world. Otherwise, we have to come back life after life and play the same game again, working hard, getting money, having families, dying, and then doing the whole thing all over again. So Chitrakirti, he went through it all. He had so much. And then at one point, because he wanted a son, and he got a son, then his son was taken away by Providence. He wasn't meant to have a son, but because he wanted it, Narada Muni and Parvat Muni, they gave it to him in order to teach him that actually this is not your destiny. So we don't know. We just leave it up to Krishna. Therefore, that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam explains Tasyaiva Hetu Pratitena Kovita Na Labhyate Tad Vamata Uparyada Na Labhyate Tad Ugara Dukana Anvita Dukana Anvita Kalena Sarvatra Gambira Ramhasa. That one who is actually intelligent and philosophically inclined does not endeavor to find some permanent situation anywhere in this material world, all the way up to the higher planets, because everything in this world is dukkhalayamasasra. It's temporary and it's full of misery. And the last part of the verse is, hey, whatever happiness you're destined to get, you'll get it. Whatever misery you're destined to get, you'll get it. Don't worry about the misery. Prabhupada was talking about this yesterday, a very extensive thing. He said, nobody tries for misery, but it comes. Your happiness will come in the same way. Material happiness and material suffering are there within the karmic collection of the living entity due to their past and present activities. And don't have to worry about, you know, material things to try to improve our happiness. You can try to do that. You may also gain something by your endeavor, but you can increase your happiness. That's the point. The happiness and distress is allotted according to, you know, material energy. But when one takes the devotional service and engages in devotional service, they transcend all material happiness and distress, and they come to what is called the Sudasattva platform, the pure platform, at least to the mode of goodness. When we get to the mode of goodness, then that's a stepping stone ultimately to the platform of transcendence. So one should aspire to work in such a way that one uses their time and energy for taking care of the most important thing of life, a relationship with Krishna. And don't worry about material things. They'll come and they'll go. It's like we had the example of Kolavetsa Sridhar. He had nothing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to him every day. And Kolavetsa Sridhar was a banana salesman. He sold banana cups, banana plates, banana leaves. And he would make a few pice here and there, and then he would use some of it for himself and give the rest of it to worship Mother Ganga. And at one point, Lord Chaitanya revealed himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the house of Srivas Thakura. That's a very famous pastime when the Lord acted in his role as the Supreme Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always in the Chana avatar, hidden avatar. He would not like to present himself as who he actually was, but he wanted to present himself as a devotee of Krishna. And he very carefully did that. But this particular pastime, he revealed himself. And the devotees were so happy and they were worshiping him. At one point, Lord Chaitanya asked the devotees to go find Sridhar. Sridhar came, and when he saw that same person who was coming to buy his banana leaves and cups and plates, he thought was a very nice Brahmin. When he realized he's the Supreme Lord, he fainted. And then after some time, he came back to consciousness. The Lord was so happy with Sridhar. He said, Sridhar, I want to give you something. Ask anything from me. What would you like? You want a nice wife? You want a house? Whatever you want. I'll even give you a planet if you want. He was willing to give him anything. He was so pleased with Sridhar. And that's the way the Lord works. When the Lord is happy with the devotees never have to ask anything from the Lord, even if you want something material. When the Lord is pleased, he knows, and he'll give it to you just to show his love for his devotee. He likes to give things to his devotee. Like that. So he wanted to give something to Sridhar. Sridhar refused. saying, my dear Lord, I don't need anything. I'm happy simply worshiping you. But the Lord was persistent. Same thing when he did with Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he wanted to give him some benedictions, but Prahlad was just simply happy worshiping him in devotion. Finally, Sridhar responded by saying, my dear Lord, I'm happy. All I want to do is worship you. Just come every day and, buy my banana leaves and banana cups. And if I can simply see you, then my life is full of happiness. And then he finally said, why do you want to give me all these things? I'm happy. You're just going to make my life more miserable. So there is, if from the material perspective, now we're talking material, there are two deficiencies, having too much and having too little. Having too little means you can't maintain yourself. Like if you don't have enough food, enough opportunities for medical care when you need it, or clothing, housing. These things are basic, they're required. And one should make sure that they arrange their life in such a way as they can take care of the basic needs. So that's required. But then again, there are people who have too much. Just like in the United States of America, you drive along the highways, they have these big, gigantic warehouses, huge, people renting, and they put all their junk in it. And they store all of this stuff in these U.S. I mean, they pay money to rent these places. And then they take so much time to pile up all their stuff in this stuff. And they just waste time collecting all that stuff. They never lose it anyway. When they die, that somebody has to take it and give it away or throw it away. So this is material life. It's ridiculous. So try to live according to what you need and execute devotional service. And that's what the Sri Yashupanishad cautions us. Ishabhasya midam sarvam yat kinchat jagam kerta jagat tena jaktena bundi jaha that everything animate and inanimate is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one should live according to their quota. So everyone has their quota for what they need in order to live nicely in this world. Now, one person's quota may be different than another. One should not try to copy another and think it's my quota also. That's what goes on in the material world. People are rich and everybody thinks, oh, they're so successful. They're so happy they got so many things. And then the society points, you could also be like that if you work hard, if you go here, if you do this, if you get this particular position. And everybody is struggling to catch up. You know, it's like the old saying is, you know, let's become like the Joneses. But Prabhupada would also say, even people from India, they leave at India and they come to the West thinking, oh, the West is so nice, big houses, big roads, and so many luxuries. And yeah, when Prabhupada said, yeah, but then when they get here, they realize it's not like that. It's hell. There's another feature of that material energy which causes people to suffer unnecessarily. So, and it's also understood from statistics that people who are the wealthiest are the most unhappy. And the highest suicide rate comes from people who have, not the people who are poor or impoverished or ordinary, but people who have born into big families or very wealthy. They're always in anxiety. And sometimes they even commit suicide or they do something crazy and they cause harm to themselves and others. But this is material life. So the ultimate thing is here is that he He had material happinesses, but he wasn't interested in it. All he wanted was to go back home and back to Godhead. And that is the ultimate principle. So one has to focus on that. The devotee should make, and it's called a sankalpa. A sankalpa is a vow that I will become a pure devotee in this. It's a nice vow to make. We are pure by nature, but we are covered, and therefore we have to reveal that purity through the process of devotional service. It's not that we execute our devotional service and just go on. We should have goals. I want to chant purely. I want to develop very favorable relationships with all living entities. I want to know more about Krishna. I want to associate with devotees more. In other words, making these vows, I want to chant this amount of rounds. I want to read this much Shastra every day. So making these vows is an inspiration that allows us to try to fulfill those vows, and that will help us to make progress in devotional service. And that's important. That's pointed out in the scriptures that one should have intermediate goals along with the ultimate. The ultimate goal is to go back home, back to Godhead. Intermediate goals is the things that we want to achieve in the execution of our devotional service. That brings about an advancement of consciousness and a greater understanding of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's so wonderful class. You make it such complex things sound so, so simple. Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. And thank you for the fantastic examples that you were giving. With your kind permission, we would go ahead with the question answer session, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Prahladananda Prabhu, would you like to unmute yourself?
And yes, ma'am.
Go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Ramadhi Mataji, and then refer on to all Vaishnavas and Swami. I have one question, Prabhu Maharaj. Why was Chitraketu Maharaj not liberated from material world despite having audience with Sankarsan himself? So did he have some material desires to enjoy material world before going like that? Is there any explanation like that? I always wondered, so I was just curious about it, if you can help me with that.
Well, sixth canto culminates in Chitraketu, and then he was riding on his airplane and then enjoying the freedom of he was liberated. And then he saw Parvati and Shiva, and then he found some fault with Lord Shiva, and then he was cursed to become a demon. And in that demon body, he went back. He was killed by Indra, and he went back home, back to Godhead. That's towards. Did you get to that? Did you pass that part yet?
Yes. I mean, I have read it. But my question was, you know, why was he not liberated when he had audience with Supreme Lord, at the first instance? Why was he given that Vidyapati body, Vidyadhar, body, instead of getting spiritual Parsad body? Did he have some material desire to enjoy? And, you know, in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it said, Papya Punya Katam Lokam Usitva Saswati Samaha. Means, you know, if you have some material desire, or if your a bhakti is not complete, then you will get intermediate kind of existence in the higher planets, and then you take birth again and then get liberated like that. So I was just wondering that.
Yeah, it's obvious that there was some tinge of material.
Okay.
But just like it says that when one very great devotee in our movement, he served Prabhupada so nicely. And Prabhupada at the end said, after he left the body, Prabhupada said, he wrote him a letter. He wrote a letter describing him and said, because of your devotional service and how you served, you know, selflessly, I'm sure you went back to Godhead. But even if there was a little material desire there, well, then you will go to the planet where Krishna is having his pastimes. And then after that life, then you will return back again. So material desires are very, very subtle. Any desire to enjoy, even if we're on the spiritual platform and we still want to enjoy on the spiritual platform, we haven't reached perfection yet. The ultimate perfection is, as it's mentioned in the as lisya va pinaritam punastu mama darshana marmahatam karoti va vidata bhava vidati lampato matparam sastaneva maparaha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the formula. Of course, this is a very high stage, that no matter what Krishna does, he can break me, he can kick me, he can not be before me, I'm still his devotee life after life. Janam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamo. So as long as there's any personal motivation, that even if you want to associate with Krishna, that may also be a personal motivation also. It's very lofty. It's also spiritual. Therefore, one may have to stay in the material world and associate with Krishna somewhere where he's having his pastimes, enjoy that association, purify themselves from that last tinge, and ultimately go back to Godhead. The material desires are very subtle and hard to very understand.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Swami. Thank you very much.
Obviously, that was the case with Trichaketu.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thanks for reminding us that the material and those desires are so very subtle. We don't even know that they are coming. And then once we realize, it's too late. Shivakumar Prabhuji, would you like to go ahead with your question, please?
Yes, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances of your Lotus Feet, Maharaj. Maharaj, my question today is, in my experience, Maharaj, the thing that I find it very difficult is to accept and let go that the life that I lived before coming to Krishna consciousness is predominantly, driven by Maya. So that seems to be the difficult part of it. Just to pick up one example, Maharaj, the material education, right, that have done with a lot of effort, in one way, it is helping to read scriptures, do some introspection, and make some progress in bhakti. But other than that, the material desires or goals that were the material desires that were set as the goals for those efforts that have gone in there, I had to let them go because it's just Maya. So that acceptance feels very difficult, Maharaj. I just wanted to hear from you as to how can we deal with that.
Whatever you've achieved on the material level, just use it in the service of the Lord. That's all. Yeah, manaso deho geho yokichu mor arpi luto apade nandikishore bhakti vinota kor praise. My home, my possessions, my family, my very body, it belongs to you. He's giving us the example that whatever we have, fine. You know, we have the example of Pundarik Vidyaniti. I mean, he was wealthy. He was very wealthy. And he lived in that same way, but he had no material attachments at the same time. So it's not wrong or to have material things or have achieved a certain level of consciousness based on being expert in using material things in our day-to-day life, just use it in Krishna service. That's it. Find out ways to use it. If you're a doctor, use it to serve the devotees. Whatever you are, whatever your abilities and whatever resources you have, use it in the service of the Lord. They actually belong to the Lord. Krishna says, whatever you have is coming by me anyway. So Vasya Jaham Riddhi Sani Visto Matat Smirta Gyanama Pohanam Cha. He says, I am the ability in all living entities. Whoever we are, whatever we are, whatever we achieve, it's by the grace of the Lord coming through the material energy. But still, it belongs to the Lord. So when we use it in his service, it becomes purified. And rather than dragging us down into the material energy, it elevates us back to Godhead. So those same things are now assets for going back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada would say, he'd use the example, everything material is like a zero. And if you have so many material qualifications or material possessions, they're all zeros. But if you put a one in front of the zero, then whatever zero follows that number one multiplies the number by 10. And so in that sense, one who is qualified materially can do great service for the Lord. And we want that too. Because of their material abilities, achievements, intelligence, in that way, they can use those qualifications to serve the Lord and do great service in expanding Krishna consciousness.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for explaining the Yukti Vairagya in such a simple term. Scarlett Mataji, you would like to go ahead and pose your question, Mata?
Yes, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for today's class. I understand that everything we do, everything we have is Krishna's. That I understand and that I fully respect and believe in it. But there is something that I am sometimes worried because I have 6 adult children. Sometimes they just surprised me, buy the ticket because they don't live in the same city. They buy ticket to the train, come now. We are going to come and take you. One of them come and take me. So that takes away time from reading. For instance, I read very much. I read too much. So it takes time from my reading. How do I use this situation to say to Lord Krishna, this is for you? Because in honesty, I don't feel that it's for Lord Krishna. If my children come and take me to them, I don't know if that I can say, this is for you, I do.
I just make your children Krishna conscious.
Okay.
Yeah, by your association, because you're a devotee practicing devotional service, give them what you have, and teach them.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mataji. We all have that problem. We do not know how to devote all our services to Krishna's name. We have a question from Jyoti Mataji. She's saying, Hare Krishna, dear respectful Maharaji. My question is, when one's very near and dear one leaves their body, then the real gravity of the attachment and lamentation is encountered. It seems impossible to even practice how to devote time and service when the consciousness is not bhakti-oriented. Even if the practice is done, the feeling of cheating Krishna is strong. How to overcome this?
The feeling of what towards Krishna is strong?
So even if
the feeling, sorry, you use the word I missed, feeling of what towards Krishna is strong? What was that word?
Yeah, devote.
Cheating.
Cheating. So Jyoti Mataji is feeling that even if the practice that is done, the feeling of cheating towards Krishna is strong, that we are not actually doing it. We are cheating ourselves and Lord Krishna because the consciousness is not bhakti oriented.
What is she indicating that is cheating?
So she's indicating, Maharaj, that even though we read so much scriptures and even if you read so much, when it comes to practical utilization of not to lament over things, especially towards when we have very strong attachment towards our loved ones and when the loved one leaves their body, and we are so strongly attached, we are not able to, at that time, we are pretending that we are Krishna conscious. It seems like we are cheating ourselves and we are cheating Krishna. We forget to utilize this in depth when it comes to practice. And how do you overcome that?
Using that example of a departure of a loved one, there's obviously some sadness, some loss. But go through that and then move on. It's not that you stay there. That's normal. When someone near and dear to you leaves, and then you feel some sadness, but then you understand actually that person who is my relative or my friend is actually a pure spirit soul. So then we pray for them. And may Krishna give them his mercy so they can get elevated in their next life or maybe even attain the spiritual realm. So we can try to benefit them by praying for them on their sojourn and towards their next situation. You have to see everything from the spiritual perspective. We also may feel some unhappiness because of the departure of someone dear to us. And that's normal. That's normal. But we don't dwell on that and just dwell in the unhappiness. We experience that unhappiness and then we move on after some time. Well, you can pray for them, and that's Krishna conscious.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. It's so simple. Yes, we can go ahead and pray for the departed soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Understand that soul who played the role of my relative and friend, they're not that body. That body is them. The body is just the covering of who they actually are. You never see that person. And the soul is not to be seen, at least when we're still living.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. And thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Maharaj, for such wonderful explanation. Sri Devi Mataji, would you like to go ahead with your question, Mata?
Thank you. Your Guru Maharaj, thank you for this class. Guru Maharaj, you mentioned at one point that even a tinge of material desire, like I want to be with Krishna, I want to see Krishna, I want to go back to Krishna, means that one still has personal motivation. And therefore, one will not go right back to the spiritual world, but will take birth in one of the material worlds where Krishna is performing his pastimes and purify oneself of the desire. But then aren't we always told one should desire to go back to Godhead, one should desire to get back to the spiritual world, one should desire to go back to Krishna?
Yeah, but then again, that desire is there, but what are you going to do to fulfill that desire? You have to, therefore, you have to act. And if you're acting on the pure platform, then you'll purify yourself and go back home, back to God. But as soon as you say, I want, your motivation is changed.
I see.
If you want to say, I want to go back to Godhead, that's nice. But if you say, I simply want to please Krishna, that's higher.
Okay. I want to please Krishna. That's higher. Thank you, Maharaj, for the clarification. My humble obeisance.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. We have a comment from Shukha. Mataji is saying the Bhagavatam says he chanted the mantra given by Narada Muni for a week and then attained lotus feet of Sankarsana. She's talking about Prahladananda Prabhu.
Yes,
question. Okay. Yes, it's a comment on what Prahladananda Prabhuji has mentioned. Devotees, any other questions that you might have for Maharaj? Feel free to unmute your videos, unmute yourself, so Maharaj can bless you all, he can see you all.
I can't bless anybody.
Hare Krishna. Pranam.
Bhikkhu, you got some questions?
To be honest, Maharaj, thank you for this wonderful class. I unmuted just to wish you, but the comment I have is that today you have taught me, or me, Nemo, my wife, very important lesson of creating time. Time, we are all fighting when we want to develop spiritually. Gradually, I'm discarding things that take my time and trying to clear the desk. It takes, of course, it will take time to achieve that. But the idea is, like you say, by living and create more time for spiritual development. We are seeking that, and we got that message clearly today from your lesson. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
One of the most unfortunate situations that a person can experience is that when they're about to leave the world, they think, oh, I wasted so much time in material pursuits. I could have used more time for my Krishna consciousness. Don't get to that point. Don't allow that to happen. Lamenting that after everything is all over, I just wasted so much time. In the tears. Therefore, use your time wisely.
Thank you.
Very, very valuable point, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for reminding us. Yes. Raj Prabhu, you have a question?
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Raj, our end could be very imminent. So what is the fastest way for us to reach that platform where we just want to say, Krishna, I'm totally surrendered to you. I'm yours, and I just want to please you. I just want to serve you at every moment of every day.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prays like that. But we can't imitate it, but he's praying. You're talking about what is that mood that we should adopt, or what is that lifestyle that we should adopt? Or both?
Yes, both.
What is that prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Ita jammo mata tuva dhamma. Ita jammo. My dear Lord, you can kill me or you can you can uplift me. You can do whatever you want in your Rita Janmo Madhaduadhao. That Bhakti Vinod Thakur is giving us the ultimate principle. He sings it in one of his songs. I'm yours. It doesn't matter what you do to me.
Thank you, Maharaj.
That's the highest. We also use that verse, the last verse in the Shikshastikam also.
Namrata Mataji, would you like to go ahead with your question, Mataji? Namrata Mata?
Whatever I have is yours, my Lord. Whatever time left in this material world I have, let me use it for your service only. We have to understand this world is a jail. That's all it is. It's not a place to live and become happy. There's no question of becoming happy here. It's just a jail. If you get a good cell inside of the jail, you might think, wow, I'm better than the other prisoners. But still, you're a prisoner. As long as we're encumbered by this material body, we cannot fulfill our desires for happiness. Not possible. Material world is what it is. Krishna says it over and over. Miserable and it's temporary. So just focus your attention on Krishna. You can do your other things that you need to do in order to live, but don't make that the source of your happiness. Just get it done. It's like you have to take a bath. You have to clean yourself. You have to do certain things to maintain the body. But you do it because it's necessary. So we do our material things because it may be necessary, at least in a certain stage of our life. But we get on with our real business, Krishna consciousness. Namrata, you had a question.
Yes, Namrata Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj, you said most unfortunate thing is to not do the devotional service, but at the end of your life, you regret that I wasted my life. So I was just thinking, this is also the mood of acharyas. Then like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also had that mood that he practically did a lot of things. He gave a roadmap to us with which we are still carrying out, and he still felt that I wasted my life. Then what is the difference between that mood and our mood? I was just thinking that.
That's the mood of a Vaishnava. He didn't waste, but because of his natural humility, he feels like he did. But for us, we have to make sure we don't. And fall into that, you know, idea that we got plenty of time and, you know, I'm young and I got so many plans for the future. They say youth is folly. Youth is folly, because as you grow older, you start to understand more about the values of life, which happens even in the material sense. When you're young, we don't talk about renunciation. We talk about giving up so many things. You've still got desires to fulfill yet. But fulfill those desires by engaging in devotional service. Devotional service is sense satisfaction. It satisfies the senses. If Krishna is pleased, then you're pleased. And if you're pleased, that's perfection. Try to please Krishna. That's it. Find out from the spiritual master how to please Krishna and go ahead and do it. And we can always chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's very pleasing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's lamentation at the end of his life is spiritual. Ours may be material.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
So Maharaj, can somebody have some material goals side by side their spiritual goals, and while they are also proceeding towards the material goals, they can keep offering it like a yuktya vairagya towards Krishna?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But make sure it's vairagya, not just yuktya.
Very, very true. Maybe we are fooling ourselves. We think it's vairagya, but actually it's not.
Well,
how do we understand that?
Yeah, people think, well, I need to get rich so I can give a lot of money to Krishna. Then they waste their time trying to get rich when they could be doing devotional service. Person doesn't need anything from us. He just wants our devotion. But we give him things, because otherwise, if we don't, then we'll use them for our own self. Therefore, we offer to him in devotion. And he accepts not so much the offering, but the mood that it's offered him. That's why he says, Patram Pushram Palam Jayam Yomi Bhakti Panashiti. You can offer me these insignificant things, but with bhakti, that's the difference. So what's significant is the bhakti. But if you have a lot, and you give Krishna just a little bit, that means you're still trying to enjoy what you have. You have to give in proportion to what Krishna is giving you. Awesome. Otherwise, you'll just use it for your own sense benefit. Maintaining the body doesn't take much. Really, not that. Although in the Western culture, they make it a big program just to maintain the body, but it's not needed.
Maharaj, thank you so much for taking all our questions and answers. Are you tired, Maharaj? Should we end the class, or we can take one more question?
I think we can stop here. It's an hour and 20 minutes already.
Okay. Yes. Let's pay our humble obeisances to Maharaj while we're in the class.
What?
Vancha
kalpataru kalpatarudaksha kripa sindhu yavacha atita nam bhavanityo vaishnavepyo namo namaha namo namaha
prabhupada ki jai and ramauli swami maharaj ki
jai
thank you very much
dam ki
jai
Thank you.